All right, good morning, everybody. Yeah. Everybody full? Got your breakfast, got your coffee? Good. Good. All right, well, we have the Doolittles here. They are missionaries to Brazil, and I say missionaries. Some of you were born in Brazil. So, anyhow, the Doolittles are here. Brother Doolittle is going to present and tell us about what's going on in Brazil, and on a very positive note, they're actually going back to Brazil next month, so they can actually get into the country. So that's good. That's good. But he's been there. Well, you guys have been there for years, so I'll let him tell y'all about what's happening in Brazil and the plans and all that. So, Brother Pete, come on up here and just tell me when you want the video started and all. Start running that.
I guess you can start running that whenever.
This one, this same way.
Hello. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. Well, we're doing good then. Okay. As far as for well, my ears sound like that all the time, so it's just kind of doing stereo here right now. All right. Hello? Testing, 1, 2, 3. Okay, all right. Well, okay. Well, we'll do this Brazilian style. Can you hear me back there? All right. Well, we'll just speak up, make sure everybody can hear us. I hope that doesn't go too loud for whoever's on the webcam thing. All right. I'd like to start out by just sharing a few things with you. I'll share about my testimony, and then I'll share a video, and then I'll have my wife give her testimony, and we'll have a little bit of time for questions and answers. And if you don't have any questions, well, then I have some for you, and we'll just, you know, we'll make the question answer time work also. My name is Peter Doolittle, and no, we do not speak to animals. Okay, just getting rid of the one question that most of you probably have is like, do you speak to animals? No, we do not speak to animals. That Doolittle is actually Doolittle, not Doolittle. You see, he's missing something. That's why he speaks to animals. We're actually more related to a Jimmy Doolittle from World War II, and some of you folks may remember about him. Blessing is, found out lately that he actually got saved before he died. So that was a blessing. Sharing a little bit about my testimony. My parents went to Brazil as missionaries back in 1968. I was only 9 months old. I was the fifth child. Later on, two more were born in Brazil, so there were seven of us kids. But I was the fifth child going to Brazil, 9 months old. So actually, my first memories, of course, are in Brazil. Mom said that my first words were in Portuguese. So in a sense, if I mess up in English, you got to forgive me. It's my second language, right? As I grew up on the mission field, it was something fantastic because we were always involved in the ministry. I mean, ever since I could carry a brick, I was carrying a brick to help out church construction. We were out handing out tracts. We were inviting people to come to church. We were busy being Christians, and I thought I was such a good little Christian because I did all these things. And you know, so many times we as Christians or as human beings, we think that we're Christians because we do things. But it wasn't until the age of 10, in the second church my father had started, that my father preached a message about the realities of hell. And that messed with me, because I never really stopped to think that I could be going to hell. And then as he gave the invitation, explained about the need of trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, that night, 10 years old, I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. That made a difference. Now it's like, yes, now I know I'm going to heaven. Not because I think I deserve it because I did a bunch of good things, but I'm going to heaven because I understand Jesus Christ died for me. He paid for my sins, and I trusted in him as my Savior. But then all of a sudden reality hits and goes like, okay, but what changes? I'm still going to be in church every time church doors are open. I'm still going to be out handing out tracts, inviting people to church. I'm going to be doing the same thing, so what changes? And that started bothering me. I said, there's got to be something more. There's got to be something more I can do than just the same things I used to do. It wasn't until the age of 13 when one day I was actually reading a book about some missionaries. And these missionaries happened to get killed over in the other side of the world. But at the moment when they got killed by the cannibals, it just, I stopped. And I just started praying, said, God, no, no, we need more missionaries, not less missionaries. And as I prayed with that burden in my heart, I felt the Lord touch my heart and say, that's what I want from you. So from the age of 13 on up, I no longer dreamt, when I grow up, I want to be, I'm a missionary. That's what God has called me to do and to be. And so I dedicated my life to serving the Lord. And, I think sometimes about that prayer. Jesus Christ said, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he thrust forth laborers. I think that many Christians don't really pray that God sends forth laborers because they're scared that if they do pray that prayer, God will say, go. And they don't want to go. So be willing and pray that God will send forth laborers. Sometimes you hear stories of pastors that all of a sudden become missionaries and go like, that's not right. You know, why did they become missionaries? Well, they probably all of a sudden started praying, God, you got to send missionaries over to this country. And God says, uh-huh, that's you. Go for it. So be prepared anyway to do what God wants you to. As I grew up then, I was involved, like I said, in church, in many aspects of church. I came back to the United States and went to Bible college. And that was an interesting experience. I'm not going to go into the details of that. But growing up, hearing the Word of God every day in home and being indoctrinated through the Word of God and, you know, with a very godly father, made Bible Institute, or by Bible College, an interesting place to go to. Especially when I get there and I'm going like, okay, there's like 3,000 students here. I'm one more of those that really want to serve God. And all of a sudden I find out like, where are those students that are really, really wanting to serve God? A lot of them there just because their parents sent them there. And I encourage you, when you go to Bible college, go because you know what God wants you to do. Don't just go just to waste time. But anyway, that's a different story. In 1990, I had done the schoolwork that I felt I needed to do, and I said, okay, I need to get back to Brazil. I know the work that there is there to be done. I know what God has called me to do. I need to get back and get it done. But then I ran into a little problem. I was 22 years old. I looked about 17, 18, and I'm trying to raise support to go back to Brazil as a missionary. So skinny, my brothers joked around that I had to stand up twice just to make a shadow. I could not get anybody to take me serious about taking me on for support. I mean, I even tried to grow a mustache. It wouldn't grow well, but I tried to grow a mustache. Tried to make me look older. But I prayed about it. I said, God, I need to go back. The timing is now. So I bought tickets for October of that year, and I'd be turning 23 at that time. I said, God, I'm going back because I feel you want me to go back. And even though I tried to raise support, I had pastors tell me, get married first, have a family, then go be a missionary. I said, but God has called me, and I need to go now. So I actually went back to Brazil. There was kind of a promised support of about $650 a month support. And I said, that's not much, God, but if that's what I get, that's what I'm going with. And so I went. I only saw about $250, by the way. But I didn't care because I was where God wanted me to be, and I knew that God would always supply my needs, and God will always supply our needs. So went back to Brazil, almost instantly became camp director at a camp my father had started years before. My father was no longer working in that area of Brazil. He was in a different area of Brazil, but I became camp director, an assistant to one of the national pastors, also in one of the churches, and just got busy serving the Lord and trying to honor and glorify the Lord with everything that I had. God looked down upon me and said, of all men that is not good to be alone, this is definitely one of them that really needs some help. So he gave me my lovely wife, brought her into my life. We've been married now for over 28 years, and she doesn't even look that old. You know, people ask, you know, I see your daughter and your son, where's your wife? And no, that's my wife. That's not my daughter. Okay, she just doesn't age like I do. But we've been married now for over 28 years, and Lord has blessed us in different areas of the ministry. One of our main ministries, because that's where we started working, was with camp ministries. And our camps are run kind of throughout the year. We have like 7 camps spread throughout the year, and I can share more about that during the Q&A if you'd like. And also, then we started churches. We've started 3 churches. The last one we started in 2018. And the first one started, is already under national leadership. The second one had some problems. It's back under the leadership of the first church we started, and we're in our third church now. God has also blessed us to be able to start a boys' ministry, and the boys' ministry called Guardians of the Faith. And if you've never heard of that group before, it's because we just invented it, and so it's not well known. But it's kind of like Boy Scouts, Masters Club, all those things kind of mixed in together. But basically, we are trying to train the boys of today to become the men of tomorrow, and with godly principles and moral standards and good Christian character. So that's the ministries that we have been involved in, is camps, church planting, and the Guardians of the Faith. And as you watch the video we'll be showing here in just a moment, just look at that. Don't look at all the things that the Doolittles have done. It's all the things that God has done. And I keep looking and going like, God, I should have done a whole lot more. Why haven't I been able to do more? We should always have the attitude of there's got to be more that we can do, and we need to get involved. So as you watch and have the video go now, just look at what God has done, if you would, please.
Brazil, the 5th largest country in the world, and ranks 6th in population with over 210 million souls. Though many claim to be Christians, the majority are Catholics, and most of the rest are from Pentecostal and Presbyterian churches. The fact is that churches preaching the true gospel are scarce. Though larger than Texas, the state of Mato Grosso has 141 cities totaling over 3 million people, but less than 20 independent Baptist churches. This is where God has called us to serve. We are the Doolittle family, Peter, Zerlaney, Stanley, and Kevin, second-generation missionaries serving the Lord in the heart of the continent of South America since 1990. Our ministries include Camp Maranatha, church planting, and the Guardians of the Faith. Started by my father, Robert Doolittle, in the late 1970s, and later passed on to us, Camp Maranatha has become one of our primary ministries throughout the past 30 years, and has grown to become one of the largest Baptist Bible teams in Brazil, where many souls have been saved for the glory of God. Camp Maranatha is a place of fellowship for like-minded churches, with great food and physical activities. But most of all, it is a place for solid Bible preaching through which the Holy Spirit convicts the lost, corrects the wavering, strengthens the weak, and challenges the faithful. In the past years, we have been used by God to start 3 churches. Our first church in Tabuna is now under the leadership of Pastor Vanderlei, who has been a blessing both for the church and a great partner in our other ministries as well. In July of 2018, we were able to begin Maranatha Baptist Temple in El Dorado. This new church has grown steadily, and we praise God for the souls won to Christ there. We have reached out to the neighborhood for special services directed at specific groups of people, as well as street work handing out tracts and Bibles. We praise God for the opportunity to do personal Bible studies about salvation, and then following up with discipleship with those who will be saved. Of the church churches in our area, several are in desperate need of pastors, and some of the men who are supposed to be serving the Lord have abandoned the work. Unfortunately, lack of morality and Christian character is a common problem. For the past several years, God has been burdening my heart with regard to the lack of faithful men and the need of doing something about the next generation of leaders. In God's timing, we were able to start the Guardians of the Faith ministry with boys ages 9 through 15. In its coming-like atmosphere, we use the Word of God not only to teach the gospel to the boys, but also to teach them about character, manhood, discipline, obedience, and leadership. All the lessons are based on four pillars which define the life of a guardian: God, family, church, and country.
To be obedient and to be respectful to these four pillars and the laws of the guardians. Through this, we are training the boys of today to become the men of tomorrow. And it's our desire in the future to be able to continue teaching them in a Bible Institute scenario, not just them, but other young men and women as well, training them through a Bible Institute program. As we prepare to leave our oldest son Stanley at Bible College, we ask you to pray for him. And pray for the rest of the family as well as we continue serving the Lord. That many souls may be saved, churches established, lives transformed for the honor and the glory of God. Would you please consider partnering with us as we continue serving our Lord? We are the Lulos for Brazil.
Well, I hope that gives you a little more insight about the ministry and what God has done there in Brazil. I'm going to have my wife come up and share her testimony. And as she is fruit of missionary work, I think it's important to know what missions does. God, you know, in the video you saw about our son Stanley, he's in Bible college. God has called him back to go to Brazil to become a missionary to establish a Bible Institute or Bible college there on the camp property to be able to train nationals for the honor and glory of God so that they can continue on the work, the works that are being started. Our son Kevin, who is with us, is a blessing and a right-hand man in the ministry down there. And we're praying about how God would like to use him. And so I'll be praying that God will allow him to know God's direction for his life so that he may do what God wants him to do. This is my wife, Zirlene. With a Z, Z-I-R-L-E-N-E. I'm going to probably hold this out. Nope, here it is over here. Just so it kind of picks up a little better for everybody.
Eu vou dar meu testemunho em português.
I will give my testimony in Portuguese.
Eu já conversei com alguns de vocês, eu consigo me comunicar, eu entendo quase tudo.
I have already spoken with some of you, I understand most everything.
Mas eu falo um pouquinho errado.
But I speak a little wrong.
E quando eu chego aqui na frente, eu fico nervosa e eu esqueço o meu inglês.
And when I get up here in front of everybody, I get nervous and I forget my English.
Mas não precisa ficar com medo de vir conversar comigo após, eu consigo carregar uma conversação.
But please don't be afraid of coming up and talking to me afterwards, I can carry on a conversation.
Eu vim de uma família tradicional católica brasileira.
I came from a traditional Brazilian Catholic family.
Passei por todos os ritos do catolicismo de confessar meus pecados perante o padre, rezar perante imagem de escultura.
I went through the rituals of Catholicism, confessing my sins to the Catholic priest and saying prayers to engraven images.
Eu fazia aquilo porque minha família me ensinava que era o que devia fazer.
I did that because my family had taught me that's what I should do.
Mas era vazio, eu não realmente acreditava naquilo.
But it was empty. I couldn't really believe in that stuff.
Mas quando eu tinha 11 anos de idade, alguém me convidou para ir na igreja batista.
When I was 11 years old, someone invited me to go to a Baptist church.
Era a segunda igreja batista que o pai de Peter começou no Brasil.
It was the second of the Baptist churches that Peter's father had started in Brazil.
Eu fui na igreja alguns dias e com a igreja fui nesse acampamento que vocês viram.
I went to church a couple of times and with the church I went to that camp you saw in the video.
E naquele acampamento, dia após dia, ouvindo a palavra de Deus, no quarto dia daquele acampamento.
And at that camp, day after day hearing the word of God, on the fourth day of camp,
eu entendi salvação.
I understood salvation.
Que não era religião como a minha família me ensinava.
That it wasn't religion like my family had taught me.
E que não era Maria.
And it wasn't Mary.
Mas que somente Jesus Cristo podia salvar minha alma.
But only Jesus Christ could save my soul.
Que eu era uma pecadora e mesmo sendo religiosa eu estava indo para o inferno.
That I was a sinner and even though I was religious I was going to hell.
Naquele dia eu entendi isso embaixo de uma árvore, eu confiei em Jesus como meu único e suficiente Salvador.
That day I understood that and under a shade tree I trusted Jesus Christ as my only and sufficient Savior.
Deus mudou minha vida.
God changed my life.
Eu voltei para minha casa e falei para minha mãe que eu não queria mais na igreja católica.
I went back home and told my mother that I didn't want to go to the Catholic Church anymore.
Minha mãe não importou muito, mas meus avós ficaram muito bravos.
My mother wasn't too concerned, but my grandparents got really upset.
Realmente foi muito difícil para mim enfrentar a minha família.
Actually, it was quite difficult for me to have to face my relatives, my family.
E continuar firme no que eu tinha crido.
And continue faithful in what I had believed.
Deus me deu força para continuar e eu comecei já a crescer no Senhor e até ensinar na escola dominical para as crianças.
God gave me the blessing to be able to grow in Him, grow in the Lord and be involved in the church and I actually started teaching a little Sunday school class.
E aos 13 anos de idade eu comecei a fazer a segunda oração mais importante da minha vida.
And when I was 13 years old I started praying to the Lord the second most important prayer request of my life.
Eu gosto de falar isso por causa das moças e rapazes solteiros.
I also like sharing this because of the young ladies and young men that are still single.
Eu comecei a orar por marido.
I started praying for a husband.
E a minha oração era, Senhor, me dá homem que ama mais o Senhor do que a mim mesma.
And my prayer was, God, give me a man who will love you more than he will me.
Porque eu sei, se ele te amar, ele vai me amar.
Because I know that if he truly loves you, then he'll love me.
Deus não demorou muito quando eu tinha 18 anos de idade.
It didn't take God long when I was 18 years old.
Deus me deu aquele tipo de homem por quem eu orava.
God gave me that kind of man for which I had prayed.
O nome dele é Peter Doolittle.
And his name is Peter Doolittle.
Só alguma coisinha que eu vou colocar aqui para as moças.
Just something I'd like to share here with the young girls.
Moças, não estraga sua vida casando com a pessoa errada.
Girls, don't mess your life up getting married to the wrong person.
E rapazes também.
And young men as well.
Ora e espera no Senhor.
Pray and wait on the Lord.
Espera por aquela pessoa que você vai passar o resto da vida junto.
Wait on the Lord for that man with whom you'll spend the rest of your life together.
Ou mulher.
Or if you're a guy, the girl you'll spend the rest of your life together with. Make sure we get that nice and clear there. No political correctness here. Just.
Deus me deu o privilégio de casar com Peter, que já era missionário.
God gave me the privilege of getting married to Peter, who was already a missionary.
Então me casei e entrei direto no ministério.
So I got married and went right into the ministry.
Irmãos, que bênção é poder servir ao Senhor ao lado do meu marido.
And brethren, what a blessing it is to be able to serve the Lord alongside my husband.
E trabalhar no meu país sem nenhum problema com comunicação e ganhar o meu povo.
And work in my country with my people without any problem with communication or culture.
E eu fui a primeira em toda a minha família católica a aceitar Cristo.
I was the first of all my Catholic household to get saved.
Mas hoje...
But today,
minha mãe, meus irmãos, tios, primos, muitos outros são salvos.
My mother, brothers and sisters, some cousins, aunts, uncles, and many others are saved.
Deus transformou minha família.
God has transformed my family.
Sabe por quê, irmãos? Isso foi possível?
You know why, brethren, that was possible?
Porque um dia um homem nesse país ouviu a voz de Deus, foi para o meu país.
Because one day a man from this country heard God's voice and went to my country.
Esse é Robert Doolittle, meu sogro.
That's Robert Doolittle, my father-in-law.
Eu falo para ele que ele é meu herói aqui na terra.
I also tell him he's my hero here on earth.
Porque ele obedeceu a Deus.
Because he obeyed God.
Eu estou indo para o céu.
I'm going to heaven.
Minha família está indo para o céu.
My family's going to heaven.
E muitos outros que vocês viram no vídeo estão indo para o céu.
And many others that you saw in the videos are going to heaven.
Irmãos, missões transformam vidas.
Brethren, missions transforms lives.
Transforma famílias.
It transforms families.
E pode transformar países.
And it can transform countries.
Eu louvo a Deus por esse país.
I praise God for this country.
Por igrejas como vocês.
For churches like you.
Temos tido o privilégio de viajar em muitas igrejas nesse furlough.
We've had opportunity to travel and privilege to travel into many churches this furlough.
E o amor dos cristãos americanos me deixa envergonhada.
And the love that I see in the churches here in the United States leaves me ashamed.
E eu agradeço por esse amor.
And I thank God for that love.
Os cristãos americanos têm um grande amor por missões.
Your Christian Your American Christians have a tremendous love for missions.
Então, eu quero agradecer. Muito obrigada por amar missões.
So I want to thank you very much for loving missions.
E por enviar missionários.
And for sending missionaries.
Thank you very much.
Muito, muito obrigado. I'm translating, right? All right. Well, I hope that gives you a little more insight as far as for what missions does and the work that is being done, throughout Brazil, throughout the world, and you know, places that you have reached into through the missionaries you support as well. There is so much work to be done. Who's going to do it? Right? Who's going to do it? Now, you may look and say, well, that's why we support missionaries, so that they can go and do it. Right. But let me put it this way. There's so much work to be done in Texas. Who's going to do it? Let's focus in a little more. There is so much work to be done in Beeville. Who's going to do it? Don't be expecting we're going to be sending missionaries from Brazil here to do it for you. Right? This is your mission field. Get busy. Get it done. One thing we've noticed as we travel around the United States, some places leave us sad, other places leave us happy. As we look at churches and see churches sometimes with only one age group, the elderly, that leaves us sad. Where is the next generation? Where are those who are going to come afterwards to keep the work going? We need to invest in the next generation. I'll be sharing a little more about that in the morning service. But we do need to get busy. We do need to serve the Lord. We all need to be doing our part. And this is great. I mean, I appreciate a church that gets together and eats. Amen. Amen. You know, I mean, if you look at the primitive church there in the book of Acts, you find out that is the one of the things that they did. That's one of the things that helped out the first church we started. We soon started gathering plates. You know, every Sunday people would come and they'd bring their pots and pans and the food they're cooking. And just that fellowship is very important. It creates a bond in the family. And so I appreciate churches that do that. It gives us a little more time to get to know each other as well. You know, as we talk over a meal. I'd like to share a verse of the Word of God, but before I get to that, I'd like to give opportunity for questions and answers about the ministry, about Brazil, as a country. It's a very needy country. Just giving a little bit more information. Like I said in the video, it's the fifth largest country in the world in landmass. It's the sixth largest in population. So it's a huge country, and I've had people go like, oh, do you know so-and-so in Brazil? And I go like, no. Just our one state is 30% larger than Texas. And you guys know how big Texas is, right? So, it's a huge state, it only has 3.6 million in population. It's like got Houston's population spread throughout that state. 1 million is right in the area where we work, so it leaves like 2.6 million spread throughout 140 cities in the state. And we only have churches in about seven of those cities so far. So imagine that. The field is truly huge, and a lot needs to be done. We appreciate your prayers in that. This furlough, we have been back in the United States for the longest furlough that I can remember in my life. I don't think I've ever spent this much time, even as a kid, on a furlough in the States. So this is all new to me to be here this long. But we have been here this long. God has sent us back during COVID to be able to be here visiting churches. We're still trying to raise our support to 100%. We've never reached 100% support. So we're still visiting churches, trying to raise our support up to 100%. And that just means that there's going to be more money for work. I hope people understand that. I've had people go like, well, how much money do you have to live on? Well, living prices down there aren't a lot different than they are here. But that's not the problem. The problem is having enough money to do things. You live in a culture where the people are tremendously poor. They basically have to have three people in the family working so they can eat and supply their basic needs of the family. So like when you run camp ministries or you're starting a new church, a lot of that you need to come up with somehow. And that's where having more support, we can actually do more and get more done, prepare people for the ministry as well. So that just gives you a little more information about that and why we're back here in the States. But we are so excited. We already got tickets bought. We're back to Brazil on the 21st of next month. We get down there on the 22nd, and the first church I started already wants me that following Saturday to preach for their anniversary, church anniversary. You know, they celebrate anniversaries down there. I don't know if you guys do here. Every year you have an anniversary. Okay. Well, we do down there. And so we'll be doing that as soon as we get there, and celebrating also Thanksgiving. As soon as we get back there, we have started celebrating Thanksgiving there in Brazil as well. Found out that like 30 years ago, a president, Brazilian president, set the date, the same American Thanksgiving date as Brazilian Thanksgiving date. And so we actually have it in the calendar, and we didn't even know about it all these years. So we praise God for that. But anyway, questions, any questions you may have about Brazil, the ministry, our family. Remember, if you don't start asking questions, I'll start asking questions. So, question number one, what are you doing for the lost souls of Beeville? No, I'm sorry, just your questions first. Yes, sir. Okay. Okay, what do we look for in the future? God has been working things out, fitting things into time and in place right now. We started the Boys Club, obviously during this COVID season. The Boys Club, and this is one of the great things about being here in the States during COVID, the Boys Club we could not have during this time of COVID. The camps we could not have during this time of COVID. So it's like, oh, you went to the States in the middle of COVID, how terrible. No, how great, because we couldn't be doing that down there anyway. So this is like the best time for us to be here in the States. But starting next year, all the camps are going back to normal, apparently. We're scheduling them to go back to normal, and we're praying the Lord will allow that. We'll also be starting up the Boys Club again. And our purpose is to train these boys from the ages 9 on up, teach them how to be disciplined, teach them how to study the Word of God, to love the Word of God, to work together. And our desire is to bring them up to the age of 18, and by then, you know, we hope to get that Bible college going down there and take them right on into Bible college. I have actually asked the Lord several times that if He would permit, I'd like to be able to turn the church over, the church that we've started most recently, turn it over to a national, train someone or get someone in there to be the pastor, and focus for a while on training these young boys and starting these boys' clubs throughout Brazil. Our idea and desire is to actually get these clubs started throughout Brazil. And then what we'll do is have yearly jamborees where they all come to Estancia Maranatha, Camp Maranatha. And we'll do our campouts there, the jamborees, all the different groups from the different states come there together. And while they're there, they get a tour of the Bible College, where they can start looking at, like, hey, when I finish going through the Guardians of the Faith and become 18, or I'm through with my high school, I can actually come here to a Bible college where I can live on campus, and they will work as well. That's kind of part of the project, to help develop them through that stage. Our desire then is to start our future churches with these couples and families, because there's going to be a girls' club being started too, and then they'll be getting married, hopefully the good girls with the good guys. And then our desire is to actually take these couples or these families and go start churches with them already as ministers. So this is the pastor and his wife. This is assistant, his wife. These are these kids. He leads singing. She plays piano. They're all Sunday school teachers. And we have a whole group ready to go. And then that way, when people look at me, I'm like, no, I'm just a missionary. I'm just here helping get it started. They're the leaders of the church. They're the ones who will take it forward. That will avoid the church getting hung up on me. Most missionaries are suffering with that in our area of Brazil. The church likes you so much that they don't want you to leave. And you can't find them. They don't want to have anyone else. And you keep trying to say, hey, we need to get a pastor. No, we don't want a pastor. You're our pastor. No, I'm not your pastor. We need to get a pastor. And so this way we can actually start with the pastor, and they can get hung up on him. And he can be there the rest of his life, right? Okay. But I can go take a couple of couples, and go to a different area and start another church. So that's our future project. And I know that, you know, while the Lord may come back before then, that's true. And I use this illustration sometimes. My wife likes this particular fruit called jabuticaba. It looks like a little grape. You'll see it on the display. We have a display over there. It's got some pictures. If you look through them, you'll see it. It's odd because it grows on the trunk of the tree. It looks like a plague that grows on the trunk tree. All these little, like, grapes. Jabuticaba. She likes that, but we don't have one there at camp. And, you know, it's like, it takes like 15, 20 years or something crazy like that for it to give fruit. And so, like, man, you know, I don't want to plant something that's going to take that long to get fruit. But then I've been running camps for 30 years, right? We've been married for 28 years. I've known she likes those fruit for 28 years. If I had planted it back then, we'd have fruit today. You get where I'm going, right? If I had started this boys' club back when I went to Brazil, and we had started it, we'd have it going today. And believe you me, I thought Jesus Christ was going to come back in those days. Things were bad enough. Now, do I think Jesus Christ is about ready to come back? Yes, I do. But I can't sit around with my hands tied waiting. Well, he's going to come, so we can't do anything. We'll wait for him to come. We need to plan for the next 50 years what we can do to better expand the Word of God throughout Brazil. Yes, sir.
Do you live in the city or in the rural?
We actually live on the camp property. I'm general maintenance man. And, you know, we live on the camp property, which is 10 minutes outside of the capital area. There's Twin Cities, population of 1 million right there. But we actually live out on the camp property to be able to maintain it. In the cities, you have a little more of a crime rate. We actually had a pickup truck that was donated to us, a Toyota pickup truck. I was so happy with it. And then one day as we got home, we were still living in town at the time, we got home and of course we had some guys pointing guns at us and requesting the pickup truck, so I gave it to them. I figured they were going to bring it back. They didn't. I took it to Bolivia, I think. But yeah, we're not far from the Bolivian border, and that's usually where pickup trucks that are stolen in Brazil go to, or in our area of Brazil, go to there. So, yeah, when the cops finally got around to catching, they caught this gang. They didn't find my truck, but they caught this gang that had an order, a list of something like 100 pickup trucks to take over to Bolivia. And they just suspect that mine was one of them that had already been taken over, but you know, you don't know. But anyway, that was not a very happy time, which was actually right after we went back to Brazil, that time that we met down in Corpus Christi. It was after that we got to Brazil, bought the pickup truck, and then It got stolen not long afterwards. So I do not have a pickup truck anymore. And I probably will never have a pickup truck again just because it's too scary. But yeah, so there is some of that. It's not as rampant in other areas as it is in the major capitals, São Paulo, Rio, the big places down south. There's a lot more disparity and a lot more crime and drugs, but it does exist in our area as well. I mean, I could take you to places that I know that they sell drugs at, just because everybody's told me. I've not been there yet, but I know where the places are. although we can buy drugs right over the counter, medicine drugs, you know. But it's quite different down there. And so the people that we work with, the neighborhoods we work with, they're usually low-income people. And so, you know, financially you can't expect them to do much. We always challenge them to trust in God and step out by faith. And we do teach them financial responsibility. So it's one of the classes that I teach once every 2 or 3 years, how to control your finance, how to live within your means, how to save money, how to give to God what is God's and trust Him to supply your needs. So we do that as well. There was a question back there. Okay, it's done through the churches. In our state, there's close to 20 churches now as far as independent Baptist churches. We send out invitations to these churches for them to come. Our biggest camp is Family Camp. That's in February during the Mardi Gras Carnival in Brazil. So we try to get everybody out of town during that time. So our Family Camp will run 250, 280, 300 in that neighborhood. That's our biggest camp. And then, like I said, our camps are spread throughout the year. This next year, our calendar changed a little bit because we use holidays mixed with weekends to be able to match up days that they could actually come and stay for camp. So our teens camp this in 2022 will be in April. It's usually in September. Ladies is always in May. Adolescents is June. Men's is August. Then teens again will have another reinforcement, hopefully, on the 7th of September, which is usually when our camp is. But just because it's in the middle of the week, you can't use it. So we'll just use the holiday for teen activity in September. October is children, and November is couples camp. So we just have them spread throughout the year. The other camps will be 100, 120, you know, teens maybe 160, depending on the year. Adolescents is less, 80. Like that. So unfortunately, sadly, men's camp is also smallest. It's hard to get men together to do stuff. It's, yeah. Oh, yeah, and about the money. What we do is we figure out what the food expense basically is, and we charge the food expense. And What people do, they'll save up for that. That's why we have it spread out throughout the year. So like the family can come to family camp, and if they have a teen, the teen usually works, so you know he can save up some money for his own. But then the kids, the parents have to pay for the kids, so you can't have kids camp right with family camp. So it's by having it spread out, it gives them time to save up a little money to be able to just cover the food expenses basically. And of course, like everything, the more people that come, there's usually a little more left over at the end. So sometimes you have enough to pay the light bill for that month, sometimes you don't. All the maintenance, all the fixing, repairing of the tractor when it breaks down, or the brush hog, or, you know, that all comes out of our support. And, you know, you have to drill a well, you know, we have to ask for money to drill wells and stuff like that. You know, sometimes we have water problems. But we're praying the Lord will raise our support to 100%. That'll avoid having to ask for money for a lot of the littler projects. And then just major project we still need help with, of course. But in American dollars, for a kid's camp, she's my treasurer. Huh? About $25. Yeah. Hey, yes.
Great idea, Karen.
Y'all come down to camp. So the family camp, then we have diverse prices. Adults, one price, you know, like such an age on up, such an age on down. And then sometimes we'll have a family pack. So if your family, immediate family, dad, mom, and five kids, well, then we can give you a discount, you know, because of your own kids, you know. It is. So it is a sacrifice for them. Family camp is a special thing because a lot of the Brazilian families in our area, they don't have vacations. They don't go on vacations. They save money to go to camp. That's their vacation with their family. So they go there. It's a little more like it's not a resort, but to them it's a little more like a resort where they're there. They have places for their kids to be playing. You know, they can sit around and talk and have fellowship and stuff like that. What has been done, there have been occasions when someone has sent money and say, hey, I want you to use this to help pay the way for some people to go to camp. And then we've done some of that. Actually, if it's a person who is coming for the first time or they're part of a good news club that one of the churches has or something like that, we give them a discount. It's half price is what we do, right? 50%. What we try to do is encourage the churches that are bringing these people for the churches to, you know, match that 50% and bring the children, because that's what usually happens is the church ends up paying. So we try to encourage that. The Brazilian minimum wage right now is about $250 a month. So that camp just got real expensive. Rice, beans, and some protein, either a fried egg or chicken or pork or beef. We eat a lot of beef in Brazil because you know, it's just a little bit cheaper than this here. Like your top cuts of meat in Brazil will probably cost you about $3.50 a pound. Your top cuts. So we eat beef. I like beef. You know. It's one of my favorites. But anyway, but you know, there are a lot of times a Brazilian will complain. I mean, they'll make mention like, oh, we don't have any mix. And when they say mix, that means they don't have any protein. They have the rice, maybe the rice and beans, but they don't have the protein. So we don't have mix this, you know, this week we don't have mix. That means they'll just be eating rice and beans throughout the week. And yeah, if they carry that idea that if they don't have the mix, they're poor. They're really under. So they will usually always have something, and they usually receive once a month, sometimes twice a month, and so then they try to measure that out, and it's crazy. So usually you have a few people in the household working to be able to meet the needs of the family. I don't know if that answers the questions. Do we need to go, Pastor? I saw one more hand coming up.
Have you ever had pre-COVID, of course? Have you ever had churches from the state come down and help with the camp? Or is that something you would
ever... We've not necessarily had churches come down. There's been a few individuals that have been there during a camp time and helped out some in the camps. There's some limitations as far as for directly during camp, because if you don't speak Portuguese, they don't speak English, you know? And you know, I've had some people go, oh, I speak Spanish. I said, well, you know, it's not the same. It's similar but different. You know, I know enough Spanish to get me in trouble, so I try not to speak it. there's enough difference between the two languages. The stuff you say in Portuguese, thinking you're saying Spanish, it could sound bad, you know? But churches are welcome. I mean, we're not like we don't want churches down there, but just, you know, knowing that getting down there, especially like before camp, is awesome, because that's when we have all the cleaning of the dorms and preparing everything and all that sort of stuff. So that kind of help is very nice and very welcome. And of course, you know, we've had people, Americans that are down there, pastors that go down there to preach, and then I translate for them. And stuff like that. So we do stuff like that as well. But going on just far as for during camp, there's, you know, games, you know. Oh, we're going to play this game. So, all right. Any other questions quickly? Yes. Right. Brazil is open to religion, totally open to religion. And so that has caused a lot of problems. It used to be very Catholic back when we originally went to Brazil. The first church my father started was actually persecuted by the Catholics. I mean, our doors were all just big open windows and doors, you know. So they would throw in cow manure and beer bottles and stuff in on us while we're having services, trying to get us out of town. And we found out later, under order of the nuns and the priests and everything of the Catholic Church, saying, you got to get the American missionaries out of here. And so they were trying to get us out. But after when it really opened up to religion, you name the religion, we've got it, and we've got some you don't got. We've actually been exporting religions to the United States. So there's Brazil, here in Texas, several places in Texas, I've gone by and see Universal Church of Christ, Igreja Universal de, La Iglesia Universal de Jesus Cristo, that's Brazilian. The other one is Deus é Amor, I think is I saw here also. Those are huge churches, and they grow by the leaps and bounds. They're on television. They're always doing all this propaganda of how, you know, my life was a mess, and I was in debt and all that sort of stuff, and I went to church, and now I have 5 cars, and I own 2 businesses, and everybody was like, that's the church I want to go to. And so these churches are loading up with people. The problem is it's all charismatic, you know, type of thing. The Catholic Church started losing ground in Brazil, so now the Catholic Church, many of the Catholic churches are gone charismatic. They no longer stick to their original traditions. They still love Mary for some reason, but even their Bible, they use the same Bibles we do now. They cut out the Apocrypha Bibles. They're not using those. The people actually run around. They walk around with Bibles. They have Bible studies. They have camps for couples and all that sort of stuff. They sing a lot of the same songs that the Christians, the evangelicals, Christians, whatever, sing, and all sorts of stuff like that. So the Catholics are gone charismatic. The Southern Baptist movement is almost totally Pentecostal now in Brazil. And so it's like we're the only church that stands out different, that sticks to the Word of God and to what the principles of the Word of God is. So it makes it interesting because it's like, you guys are different. Yes. Praise God. Anyway, I think we're probably at about the certainly. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, so much for this time together. I thank you, Lord, for this time of fellowship and to be able to share some of the work and some of the things that you have been doing there in Brazil, Lord. And I pray that may be a blessing and an encouragement to the church here. And, Lord, give them a desire and fire to each and every day more continue on in the work you have for them here as they support missions around the world as well, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to serve you. I pray for the service coming up in Christ's precious name. Amen.